Isaiah. And I want to call your attention to the last statement in the fifth verse. And talk to you a little bit here this morning about who's running this world. See if that will be of any help to us. We're glad to see Charles and his wife. Charles is a native of this Marion County. Been away in Florida for a whole lot of years. We're glad to see. Mother, his father, Charles, his brothers, good friends, fine brethren. We're glad to see you, Charles, and your wife. It says, "The God of the whole earth shall he be called." The God of the whole earth and all therein. He's the true and the living God. There's only one God. One God in three persons. Three in one and one in three. He rules and he reigns. And there's no limit to his right to rule and reign. He's over all and he's above all. None can say unto him, "Stay thy hand." It says here, "The God of the whole earth shall he be called." Who is running this world? There's several theories as to the answer to the question, and I'll make mention of some of the theories that are very prominent and pertinent. The first one is this: how do things come to pass? Now, there's a notion, there's a view of man that things come to pass according to a fixed law. And those that hold this view are referred to as rationalists. They refuse to believe anything that cannot be explained. Now, that's one view. If you can't explain it with natural means or natural grounds, it will not be accepted by this group. And then there is a view or a notion that things happen by a sort of chance. Now, according to this view, there's nothing fixed, or there's nothing sure, or there's nothing certain. One thing is likely to happen as another thing. Now, a third view, or position, or notion, which is held, is that everything comes to pass by a cold, impersonal force called fate. And of course, there is a biblical view, which I certainly believe, and I prefer to believe that over and above these other views. Because I believe that whatever is written in the Bible is written by the finger of God. and everything that's written in the Bible is true, absolutely, and there's no uncertainties or no question about it. So, this biblical view is this, that things come to pass according to the providence of God Almighty. And according to this view, the Creator God is also the administrator of all that comes to pass. Not only is it from His finger and from His heart and from His hand, but He is also the administrator of all that takes place. Now, the government of God in the affairs of this world certainly is a subject of great importance, primarily to the believer. It's of great importance to the unbeliever too, but it's of a greater importance to the believer. For it's only by the right and proper view of God. Now, we've talked about that here in recent days, the right view of who God is. If you have the wrong view of who God is, you start off wrong and you're going to wind up wrong. In order to have the right view of God, to start off right, you're going to wind up right. So you can make a big mistake on that. So the subject is of great importance to the believer, because it's only by having the right view and understanding of God and His providence that the believer will learn to look for and will be able to see God's hand in everything that transpires. And there's very few among Adam's fallen race, believers or unbelievers, that can see and do see the hand and the heart and the finger of God in everything that transpires and takes place in this world. God is behind it all. It's either His command or the will of His command. It's either His purpose or it lies with fate. So I see the finger of God. Now, all things work together for good. Now, what happens to us? We go to that verse of Scripture in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans where He says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, if you don't believe that God's running this show, that He's in charge and He's the boss and He's the only one that's qualified to run this government and the affairs of government and the affairs of this world, if you don't see that, then you'll have no comfort out of the fact that all things work together for good to them that love God. Little things and big things. Things that we call accidents. Things that are unforeseen to us. All of them, in the mind and the will and the purpose of God, they're working out for our good and for the glory of God. So, it is a subject of great importance to the believer, especially to the believer. You see, God is not idle. He's not up there twiddling His thumbs. Our Lord said Himself, He said, "My Father worketh, hitherto I work." God is the one person always on the job. He's not like the ball player. I watch the ball games now and then on the television. Sometimes go and see them play. I haven't for a long time, but sometimes I have, and maybe I will again before I die. I don't know, but they're not like ball players. Take time out to rest. when they play a baseball game, they have one team is out in the field and the other team is sitting on the bench resting, and one fella's up to bat. And when he bats, another fella gets up. If he strikes out, he comes back and rests. Not like ball players taking time out to rest. Not like the tired farmer who must, out of need, he must eat and he must sleep to recuperate strength for another day's work. It's not like the prize fighter who goes to the corner between rounds and gets patched up and cooled off. God is not idle like those. Our God knows nothing of weariness. He never gets weary. He knows nothing of weariness, and He knows nothing of emergencies. Nothing ever slips up on God's blind side that He can't see or that He doesn't know about. He is never at wit's end. You've heard that expression many times. Well, I've just come to wit's end. I've come to the end of myself. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to look. I'm just completely and completely flabbergasted. I'm exhausted. I'm at wit's end. He's never at wit's end. He always knows what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. He's the one and the only person qualified to rule and to control His creation. That is Jehovah God, the one God, the true and the living God, who knows all things, who's at all places at all times, who had no beginning and He has no ending. He is self-existent, the true and the living God. Well, there's a lot of people who might think that God is doing a bad job in governing this world. They feel like that it's out of control, that there is no main man at the head of the helm, that there's no one steering the ship. And if there is anyone steering the ship, he's asleep on the job because he's not doing it like it ought to be done. Well, they say it's a bad job in governing this world. But they say if they were in control, they said they'd propose some changes. They'd change things around a little bit. Some think that on the account of the condition of this world, which we've talked about many times, which you all know about. Everyone knows about the condition of this world, that there's just everything going on, things that are unthinkable, things that are taking place now that never took place 100 years ago, and just the condition in general. It's a mess. And so they say, like, I remember when I was a boy, and the Depression was on, and people didn't have jobs, and they had bread lines, and you went to the you'd go to the Union Hall, and they'd give people a sack of flour and cornmeal and stuff like that, and just hard times, and there came a politician on the scene, Mr. Roosevelt, and they characterized his program as a New Deal. He proposed a New Deal, and his New Deal brought about some relief to a downtrodden nation and starving people, his New Deal. And that's a little bit like what some people would like now, who think that this show is not being run right and it's kind of out of control, and if they had their way, they'd propose a few changes and bring in a new deal. Well, some might suggest and have suggested in many times that God ought to kill the devil. that'd take care of all this. That God would just cut the head off of the devil and do away with him, everything would be all right. But they're not taking into consideration that all men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, those men that are not in Christ or out of Christ, and they're just as bad as the devil, because their human nature is depraved. It's depraved. There's no good in them. So if you'd have them running the world, it'd be worse shape than what it is now. Well, some suggest that. Let's kill the devil. Why don't God just kill the devil? Why don't God put men like Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler and other warmongers? Why don't he just do away with these kind of people? Why did he ever leave them come to the surface to begin with? Why didn't he put them away and replace them with peace-loving men, men that love peace, and let them be in charge? Well, if God is the Almighty and He is in control, which He is the Almighty God and He is in control, and He could easily do any one of these things, but He will not be told what to do. You can't tell God what to do and how to do it, because He's on the throne and He's running the show, and it'll be run His way or it won't be run at all. Now, if God's not running this world, who is? That's a good question, isn't it? If God's not on the job, if He's not on the circle of the throne, if He's not doing His bidding, well then who is? Who do we attribute that great and universal kingship and throneship to if God is not on the throne? Well, a whole lot of people think that the devil is. Well, others think it's the politicians. I've heard that a time. It's the politicians that's got this world in the mess that they're in. Well, we didn't used to do this, and we didn't used to do that, and we got this politician with his liberal thoughts, and well, we got this one with his conservative thoughts, and they've just messed things up. It's the politicians. They're to blame. Others think that it might be the gangsters or the racketeers or the mafia, the drug dealers and all of that, and some of those lords of drugs down in South America and Venezuela and Colombia and Peru and those places. If we could crack down on them, well, there's no doubt in my mind, though, that Hitler, that he meant to rule this world. But his end came to an end, didn't it? Men rule, but God overrules. Man turns, but God overturns. If God, who created the world, and He's not running it, why isn't He running this? Is He not running this world because He can't? Because He lacks the power? Is that the reason God's not running this world? Oh, listen. If He's not running this world, why isn't He running it? Well, it must be because He does not want to, or He's not able to. One of the two. He's not able to, or He doesn't want to, if He's not running this world. But Bob and I, and Margaret, now we agree, don't we, Bob, that God on the throne, and He's running this world, and it's being run just exactly as God has planned and purposed and willed it to be run. Just exactly. Everything is going on just like God purposed and planned and predestinated in. Now, a believing sinner, that's what I am. I'm a believing sinner. And most of you out there this morning, you are believing sinners. You are not a unbelieving sinner, you are a believing sinner. You believe the testimony of God concerning His Son. You believe that God knows all that takes place down here. He knows all your thoughts. He knows all your ways, your downsettings and your uprisings. He knows all about you. And He knows that you're a sinner by nature and by choice and by practice. He knows there's no hope for you. And He knows that if you are not rescued, that you're going to wind up where God is not. And so God, in His grace, in His mercy, in His kindness, in His everlasting love, sent the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven in that great mystery. God came down and become a man, and as a man stood responsible for all of those that God gave to Christ before the world ever was. Now, a believing sinner will own and admit in a New York minute that God is on the throne and God will do as He pleases to whom He pleases, as often as He pleases, without hesitation. Now, this kind of, the kind of a world that God is running, that's an important question, I think. What kind of a world is this that God's in charge of, that is running? Well, in the first place, the first thing that comes to my mind as I attempt to answer that question, the kind of a world, what kind of a world is God's running? I say the kind of world that God is running has a devil in it. There's a devil in this world. And he's not by himself. He has demons. There were many angels in heaven, and some of them fell. Fallen angels. All the fallen angels. And the devil and his demons are in this world. And they are our enemies. And they would do us in if they could. And it's only by the power and the wisdom of God that they don't. And everything is going according to schedule. The kind of world God is running has a devil in it, and the devil is more popular with the citizens of this world than God the Creator is. They give Him more attention than they do the Creator God. Satan, the devil, is called the God of this world. He's the God of this world. But the God over the God of this world is God Himself. And for reasons unknown to me, but not reasons that are unknown to God, He permits the devil to be the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And He said about the rest of the world, unbelievers, He said that you who are not a believer or a follower or a honorer of the Son of God, He said, ye are of your father. Ye are of your father who is a liar and the father of lies. These are the kind of people that's in this world that God's running. They have a devil in it, the chief enemy of man, and they have fallen angels and demons, and the average citizen thinks more of the devil than he does of God Almighty. He's more popular with them than God is Himself. Now, at the beginning of human history, our first parents, Adam and Eve, deliberately, of their own accord, by their so-called free will, rebelled against the will of God and became the devil's friend. They took the side of the devil against the side of God. They transferred their loyalty and allegiance from the God of truth to the Father of lies. The Lord Jesus Himself told some in His day that they were hypocrites and that their father was the devil. Now the world that God is running is full of depraved men and women and boys and girls who are the offspring of Adam and Eve. It was by one man's disobedience. It was Adam, our federal head, who acted in our stead. We fell in Adam. And if we rise again, it'll be in Christ. We fell in Adam, but we must rise again in Him. The world that God is running is filled with depraved men and women. Every man, apart from inwrought grace in his soul, is an enemy of God. The Apostle Paul said that the carnal mind hates God. None but regenerate people, whom God hath quickened, who have been born of the Spirit of God, are lovers of the true God. It's not to say that they don't have a God, but they do not know the true and the living God. Their God is the God of their imagination. They believe in a God that's trying to do something, but He cannot accomplish it because depraved men and women will not permit Him to have His way. They believe in that kind of a God. Only true believers who believe in the testimony of God concerning His Son believe in the true and the living God. I want you to listen to the lips of incarnate truth as found in the Bible in Matthew chapter 15. It says this, our Lord Jesus speaking Himself. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemers. Oh, that's depravity. That's what comes out of the natural man. Well, now we should be able to understand that God is not running this world as he would run it if there were nobody in it but people that were in love with him and people that delighted to do his will. Our persons or let me say in relative to what this world, how this world is being run by God now, since this world is not made up of all people who love God and delight to do His will. It's made up of railers and thieves and blasphemers and depraved men and women. So God runs this world different now than He would if all of us were His children. You see, earth is not like heaven. Prisons are not run like children's homes. If you're in prison or in jail, you'd find out real quick that they didn't run that prison like your mother runs her home. Or like kindergarten that they have in preschool that is run by these fine young ladies and older women. God's not running this world like they run the children's preschool or preschool, like a prison. He's got a bunch of depraved people in this world. Well, I know that the cry of a lot of people is, why doesn't God do something? Why don't He do something? Well, God is doing something, but the problem is we can't understand God's way. If you can't see the finger and hand and heart of God in all things, then you don't understand His ways. He's doing something, but we just don't see it or understand it. You see, Paul declares in the Scriptures that the judgments of God are unsearchable and His ways past finding. We must, you and I, who are believers, we've got to take God at His word. He's too wise to make mistakes. There's no mistakes with God. No second thoughts with God. We have to walk by faith and believe that He doeth all things. All things, not some things, but all things. Now God's in charge. He has control over all things. Even irrational creatures, God has control of them. Now He formed the beasts of the fields, and He brought them to Adam to be named. And Adam named every one of the beasts of the field. And He caused two of every unclean animals to come to Noah into the ark to perpetuate their kind upon this earth. And then He brought seven pairs of clean beasts that Noah might have a sufficient amount of animals to offer for sacrifice at his bidding. He caused a swarm of flies to to invade the houses of Egypt while they did not come into the Israelites' homes. Of his will and command, Egypt was covered with frogs and locusts. What I'm saying is that God is in charge. He is in control of irrational animals and beasts. They respond to his bidding and to his directions. Well, it says that David was cast into the lion's den, but God locked the jaws of the lion, and David remained untouched. Now, Jonah did not want to go down to Tarshish, and he got on a ship to go in the other direction to get away from God. And God caused a great storm on the ocean to rock the boat. And the sailors on that boat kind of figured that Jonah was a bad omen, and they grabbed him and throwed him off of the ship. And no more than he hit the water, God caused a great fish to swallow Jonah. And the first thing you know, that great fish swam to the beach, and God caused that great fish to vomit up Jonah on the dry land. God, you see, controls even the irrational creatures. Spit him up on the ocean. Make no mistake about it this morning. God is in charge. I remember reading there in the book of Luke that at God's will, the rooster crowed three times just when the Lord told Peter it would. God is running this world for the highest good. Listen to me now. Follow me closely. God is running this world for the highest good. What is the highest good? What is the most important thing in the universe? Can you tell me? The highest good is not the pleasure and the profit of the devil. He's the enemy of God and the enemy of good. He's not the most important person. His welfare is not even in part of God's plan or God's objective. The highest good is not the welfare of humankind or the human race. The highest good, the greatest possible objective, is the glory of God Almighty. And the chief duty of man is the same as God's objective, which is the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do to the glory of God. Oh, my soul. Look over here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I think I'll read that and I'm going to quit. Listen to what it says here. This is kind of the foundation stone of everything I've said. God's the only person in all the universe who has the right to act for His own glory. His glory is the rule of His actions, and His glory is the rule of human conduct. Chief duty of man. Listen to what it says here now, 11th verse. Thou art worthy. He's the only one that's worthy. There's no other being in the universe that is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to do what? To receive glory and honor and power. Now listen to this. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We're created for the glory of God. And that's the highest objective. Who's running this world? God's running it. He always was. He always will. He'll never be defeated. That's wishful thinking on the part of most of this ungodly generation. Somehow God will be defeated. His purposes will be thwarted. Never. 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 God's on the throne. Everything is going exactly as God has predetermined. There is not anything out of kilter. We look at this sad, gloomy, terrible, terrible world in which we live. And we think, oh my soul, something's got to happen. But as God looks at it, it's going just exactly as He willed it in eternity past. And that's how it'll all turn out, just like God planned. So, I'm forced to bow to God in Christ. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed.